Dive deep with us into the trenches of professional sports. From the electric charge of the hardwood to icy battles, the strategic plays, and to the global passion, we cover it all where no sport is left behind.
Join your hosts, Justin Williams, and myself, Nee Wallace Bruce, as we break down game strategies, dissect play performances, and give you the insider scoop on what's happening both on and off the field of play. We are the Pro Sports Podcasters. Make sure you subscribe and leave a review. I'm your co-host, Mr. Nee Wallace Bruce. It's a pleasure to have you listening. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. Make sure, if you haven't already, that you leave a review and deliver your feedback. Tell us a little bit about what you thought, because there's going to be a lot to be discussed. There'll be some takes, and delivering some of those takes is my co-host, Justin Williams. Justin, how are you doing?
I am living the dream. UFC 300 is upon us, sir.
The combat sports card of the year, possibly the combat sports card of the decade, is here. It's a marquee event, and it needs a third person, so we brought in a special guest. We went to Mile High, actually. Went to Denver, a friend of the show. You can find him on the Denver Sports Betting Show over there at the 5280 Mile High City. It's Mr. Anthony Gabriel. Anthony, how you doing?
Guys, how are we doing today? Thanks for having me on. Good to be with you.
Indeed. Great to have you on. Now, Justin, let's get right into it. Give us some of your thoughts on the UFC 300 card.
Do you think Bo Nickel is being pushed too heavy to go onto the 300 card? He's already going to fight Cody, but, like, does he deserve to be there? He's only 5 fights in his pro career.
Yeah, I'll take that one briefly. This is a stacked card. When you've got someone like Cody Garbrandt and Jim Miller on the early prelims, that says something. But to put Bo Nickel in there, as you pointed out, against Cody, the other Cody, it's going to be... No, I wouldn't have done it, but it is interesting. It is interesting. Anthony, your thoughts?
Yeah, kind of the same thoughts with Bo. I think, you know, this is such a big card when you talk about how many guys down the line outside of just the main event. I mean, you go down the prelims and you've got so many recognizable names. And I think Bo is that, you know, kind of rising star that has just been, you know, so dominant. So I can see why they included him in here. Plus, he's a Colorado guy, so we got to give a little love to some, you know, two Colorado guys, obviously him and Poirier on this card. So, but he's a guy that I think does bring some energy and bring some interesting excitement to the card too.
Excitement, no doubt. My issue is him being on the main card. I would love to see him on the prelims, even the early prelims, headlining those respectively. Like, why is Davison Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt kicking off the early prelims, two veterans in the sport, and this kid Bo Nickel sits in the main card? I don't know. Could it be he's a hometown hero, or could it just be that UFC's trying to hype him up like they did Sugar Sean O'Malley?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That's a fair point. I could see where you could see flip-flopping them to be on the early card. But, yeah. To your point, though, this is a money-making business, and they get Bo Nickel on the main card and hype him up. Probably a lot of the motivation behind that.
I think so, too. Now going over to the prelims real quick. Jiří Procházka is headlining that prelim. That's what I'm going to call it, because UFC 300 pretty much is just everybody here could headline a fight night or an actual other UFC number. But Jiří Procházka coming off that loss to Alex Pereira, who was fighting in the main card of 300, for Jiří Procházka to reclaim his title, how dominant does he have to be in this fight against Alexander?
Anthony?
Go ahead, Nee. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, look, it's... yeah, his last... I do remember his last fight out wasn't the most impressive, in my opinion. I felt like there was a little bit left out there, and the fans are going to be wanting to see, like, a signature. They're going to want to see the Jiří Procházka that we've come to know over the years. So I expect to see a statement made by him. That's my take on it. I think he does need to be dominant in this one. Very dominant. Anthony?
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I agree with you on that as well, too. Kind of don't have too much to add as I'm, kind of chiming in here. I'm doing as much with UFC to learn from you guys as also give my inputs on some of the bigger fights. So I'll defer to the experts there with your opinions.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure.
But any insight is always welcome. It's always nice to kind of have a third party perspective come in, especially somebody who is as well represented as you are within pretty much every asset of life that you touch. So kudos to you for the head nod, but I cannot take full credit, sir. That's just me. But moving forward now, back to the main card, Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway. This is a fight that should have happened earlier. This is a fight where I feel like Max Holloway is a little out of his prime now. I could be wrong. The blessed one could still be blessed, but Justin Gaethje, he's a veteran too. He has that punch power. We've seen him do it. What is either of you, Nee, we're going to start with you first. What do you think the overall takeaway from this fight will be? It is for the BMF belt, the baddest motherfucker around. Do you think that Justin Gaethje is going to retain it or is going to fall to Max Holloway?
It's going to be a close one. This has the potential to be the fight of the night. If I had to choose the best fight from the main card on paper, I would choose this one. But it has the potential to be the best fight overall on the whole night period. Max Holloway, he is great. There's a reason why he's in this fight. I remember when I got to see him in person when he came to Toronto many years ago. And he was... He's fighter by profession, but he's a real dog in the ring. Sorry, in the octagon.
Which is interesting you say that, Nee, because he's actually the underdog in this fight by a large amount.
Which I find a bit... I think it's a little bit disrespectful. I get that maybe he's not the same Max Holloway as back then, but... Are we overrating Justin Gaethje a little bit, Justin? Don't be biased.
I think we are. I sorry, didn't mean to jump in there, but I think that is not overrating, but I think it's a little bit of an overreaction to him beating Poirier, avenging his loss the first time. And I think for the casual fan, there's more the name recognition there. So I think that's why you see Holloway being, a little bit more the dog. But I really like his chances in this fight. I mean, when you look at who he's in his losses, he's lost, half of his fights in his career have been losses to Volkanovski, which is nothing, in his prime, nothing to be ashamed of there. So I think there is a little bit of value here. And what, to your point, I think this is the fight that I'm most excited for as well, too, just as much as the Pereira and Hill fight.
100%. I totally agree with you there. Now, just staying in the theme of value, Anthony, do you see any value across the card and some of the other fights on Saturday?
We hit on a little bit earlier, a little bit on the earlier card. I think that the Bobby Green and Jim Miller fight is one that, you look at the experience of these guys, and I think Miller being the dog there at +150, if we're looking for an underdog, when his ground game is just elite. So I think, Bobby Green coming off of that brutal KO from Jalen Turner, that is one as an underdog kind of down the line that I saw some value in, which I think it's going to be a great fight as far as an underdog goes. And then I do have a take on the main card, but I'll wait. I'll save that until we get to it.
No, by all means, we can share, because we only have you for a couple more minutes there. So as much as I'd love to keep you for a whole hour, if you have like your underdog 3 parlay bet you want to throw our way, I'll literally, I trust you so much, I'll do it right now as we speak.
Well, as if we're doing it in a round robin or a three way, I said Miller, Holloway, but on the main card, when we talk about value and then that fight with Pereira versus Hill, you guys tell me if I'm missing something. I'm surprised with Hill coming off of that, injury, and to see Pereira, somewhere as only -130, as dominant as he has been, Hill, the talent and the ceiling is there if he's fully healthy. But Pereira right now, I think at minus 130, I'm not sure what I'm missing there. I expected him to be a bigger favorite.
So was I. I was noticing it was pretty almost even split, especially because I use Betway. Also, while we're talking about bets, here at Pro Sports Podcasters, bet what you can afford to lose. For me, I'm betting $1 on a big parlay. Thank you. Moving forward. Yes, I'm not lying. I'll take a screenshot. We'll post it. It's true.
So that's how confident in you are in me to put $1 down, huh?
Okay, pause this. Back to the lore with 20, and at the current part of this, I have over $90 worth of $1 bets. So we can beat this team. That's it. mainly a lot of that came from Saudi Arabia beating Argentina, but that's besides the point. Actually, like $40 of that came from. Anyways, thank you, Saudi Arabia. Alex Pereira and Jamal Hill, very even across the board. So would you pick Jamal Hill as your final parlay for that three bet parlay underdog, or is there another underdog you see?
No, I was going to say if we were going to do, I would be on Pereira, in that fight, for sure. And as I'm looking down the line as another dog that'd be, you know, willing to go, let me see here as we're kind of scrolling through. Yeah, if I was to take a flyer on one. Man, there's not another one that I'm going to go on the record, and maybe Oliveira, against Armand. That might be the other one that I would kind of take a look at, to round out the three dogs.
Would you have Oliveira winning by choke or submission?
I wouldn't get greedy. I would just go to win the fight.
No, okay. How much would it be for him to win by rear naked choke or something? I don't even know.
I mean, that's got to be, yeah. I'd say, I mean, what, that's probably, also, I mean, you're probably like looking plus 600, right? Plus 500. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Method of victory, Charles Oliveira by submission. So $1 will get you $5.
Yeah, that's about what, that's, yeah.
That seems pretty good. Do you have any single?
Let's live.
Sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
It's my money. Whatever. Put another dollar down. If you had like singles, kind of like a one-off, maybe even a dark horse, what type of single bets would you throw?
Looking at the single bets. From a dart throw, my strongest ones that I feel about is still in that main card in the title fight with Pereira. I just think that line is too short for something that I think he should be a little bit bigger favorite. So my most confident is that one. And yeah, from an underdog standpoint, I think Holloway can pull the upset now that he's moved up, as you guys mentioned earlier, from 145 to 155. But I think he's put on good weight. It's, you look at him, he's looks super fit, and I think he's just more comfortable at that weight. So I think all the attention is around Gaethje and winning that shot at Islam, but he can't overlook Holloway.
You can never overlook the blessed one, for his record stands as it is, especially against who do you muck up? Cody Garbrandt, was it?
Gosh, it was.
I think it was Garbrandt. Where like Max was teaching him how to fight midway through the fight.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be on the other side of that.
No, that was just an embarrassment. I don't think, maybe it wasn't Cody Garbrandt, but either way, that was pretty much it. How much time do you have left with you, buddy?
I got about a minute left. I got to jump because we got to record our show here in a little bit.
So there we go. So just, Anthony, we appreciate your time. Just before we get you out of here, the Denver Sports Betting Show is on Thursdays. Tell our listeners a little bit about where they can find that and also where we can find your good work on social media.
Absolutely, guys. I appreciate you having me on once again. This has been a blast and certainly would love to come back anytime. And you're welcome back on our show as well, too. But the Denver Sports Betting Show, if you're listening in the Denver area, we are on from 6 to 7 every Thursday night on 98.1. And you can also find our podcast on Apple Podcast and Spotify, just Denver Sports Betting Show. And then my personal Instagram is where I post most of my content, is Sham, that's SHAM underscore Locks. So at Sham Locks, you can find me. Well, I'll be posting from anywhere. I said from, you know, we just wrapped up Final Four here. We're on a UFC. The sports calendar doesn't stop. I love horse racing. I had a couple horse racing plays over the weekend. So we're a month away from the Kentucky Derby. If there's something to bet on, we're gonna give you my opinion, whether you like it or not.
No doubt. We appreciate your opinion, and we appreciate your time, Anthony. So much appreciated, and happy trails for the upcoming card.
Well, guys, you enjoy it. It's gonna be an awesome card on Saturday, and we'll let you guys kind of keep breaking it down. Appreciate you having me on, and yeah, thanks to everybody listening, and tune into the Denver Sports Betting Show too. Make sure you keep listening to this show, because you guys do great work.
Right back at you.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right, take care, guys.
Hey, you listen to the Pro Source Podcast. This is with Neil Spruce and Justin Williams. Thank you for joining us for the second, let's call it the second round of this episode, because it is the UFC 300 special. We talked bets with Anthony Gabriel from 98.1 in Denver. We appreciate his time. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the marquee card, as it were. Justin, what are you thinking overall about the UFC 300 card? Is it going to live up to expectations? Because you know sometimes how we have these bigger pay-per-view cards and I'm going to call out the main event. Sometimes the main event or the top billing fight can often be disappointing. I mean, we could say that about the previous pay-per-view, 299. What are your thoughts on 300 coming up? Like, top to bottom, what's on Justin Williams' mind?
Well, it's a good question. So what's on my mind is a lot. First off, we said it in the interview, but pretty much everybody on the early prelims, the prelims and the main card, could headline their own numbered UFC event and their own prelims should the UFC feel so inclined. I stated earlier about my thoughts of Bo Nickel being on the quote-unquote main card. I don't think he should be there just yet. I think that's a bit of a slap in the face for other veterans. I mean, he's not even a veteran. He's new. Yes, he has hype around him. Yes, he's undefeated. I think it should be Jiří Procházka in like opening the main card, or you can even argue Holly Holm. Why not? At the point of this recording, nobody has bailed out of a fight. So if everyone is perfect and healthy, I would even like to see Davison Figueiredo maybe open the main card. Why is him and Cody Garbrandt opening the early prelims? That seems a little disrespectful to me. And my last and not final least kind of thought of the main card, or like of UFC 300 itself, I think this will be the best milestone UFC we've seen. 200 was great with Brock Lesnar. We loved that. But I think 300 just has everything you want in this world. So that's now, my thoughts.
I definitely agree with that. It's packed for a reason, but do you feel like anyone was left off? Or I'm not saying snubs, because let's face it, this is as much about name value as it is about good fighters or signature fighters. Like, whether we like him or not, do you think someone like Paddy Pimblett should have been on this card? Do you think there's some of those passive personalities were left off in favor of better fighters?
Well, so first off, Conor McGregor, I thought was going to be on 300. The fact he's not is a little interesting. Like, yay, whatever you want to say. Him and Michael Chandler should have had that fight already, or it was going to be postponed to 300. Nothing has been said about it, which is a bit of a letdown. If John Jones wasn't injured, I would love to see him go against... I mean, he's not going to go against Tom Aspinall, but I feel like Tom Aspinall got snubbed a little bit. He should be on this card. He is the interim champion, and because John Jones is injured and can't fight, technically Aspinall is the only champion. But Stipe doesn't want to fight him. Stipe wants to fight John Jones. There's a bit of a limbo happening in heavyweight division, which sucks. Anyone else that comes to mind? Ilia Topuria already. Yeah.
It does seem to be a bit of an American flavor with this card as well. That's an observation to just casually. We don't have as many of the Russians as we often see at the top end. I know Alex Pereira is there. I thought maybe we might see a couple of Brazilians in there, other Brazilians. But Charles de Bronx Oliveira is in there for sure. But it's, I guess you can only fit so much in unless you want to have a UFC marathon from midday to midnight. They could pull that off, by the way.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, you could have, I don't know if you need to have it at one venue, you could have a waterfall effect start. We know they're going to fight in the Middle East, so you have a couple of fights in the Middle East, rub that belly. Have some fights in London or Ireland if Conor is, you know, because then you don't worry about USADA as much, you know? Actually, no, you still will to be in the UFC, well, doesn't matter where you fight, correct?
No, USADA pulled out. They're no longer with UFC.
That's right. In case you didn't know, USADA is no longer in with UFC. So yeah, you could have fights in London, and then you could have either Florida or just Las Vegas on its own, and you could just have a waterfall of fights all day long. The pay-per-view would be epic.
Yeah.
I guess maybe the Vegas portion would be pay-per-view and the rest just be available to watch. But I like that idea.
Well, see, here's the thing, almost to praise you for this. As we all know, UFC and WWE are under the same banner now. Okay, TKO. With that, WrestleMania is a two-day event. It's 2 days of four-hour wrestling, and the storylines carry over. I'm not saying there has to be 2 days worth of this, of 4 hours. But, I mean, if UFC kind of wanted to, they could have Friday night early prelims, Saturday night prelims, Sunday afternoon, let's start with the main card, like right after church, everyone get to the ring. Yeah. For only special events like this.
I'll meet you along the way. You can definitely do that in months like these. You couldn't do that between August and January because the Shield of the NFL dominates Sunday. And it's a non-starter. But I like that idea, though. I don't know if Thursday night could work, but Friday for sure, but that section of the card could be in the Middle East, because that is the weekend over there. Friday is typically a day off, so Thursday night and or Friday could work. And then Saturday is pretty big in Europe, so early Saturday could be that portion, and then, like I said, late going into Sunday morning, you get that Vegas, or get that traditional part of the UFC in terms of venues on board.
Yeah, you're right. The NFL market would take over Sunday. It would be a gong show. The playoffs haven't started yet, so this is actually pretty good timing by UFC, if you will. I don't know. I feel like upon further review of my analysis, maybe 3 days would be a bit too much. Maybe just early and prelims on like a Friday, and then main card on a Saturday. Yeah. Maybe.
I think that's a goal. I think that's one that we could definitely see. I think in the future, if they haven't already thought about it, we can suggest it to them.
Yeah, we will. As soon as we see Dana. Dana! Let me tell you how to run your multi-billion-dollar business.
Yeah. And first, come back to Canada again.
Please.
We still have a market here. And when you come back to Canada, maybe bring some... Oh, I was going to say bring some better fights, but yes, there were a couple of title fights in there, so can't really rip him for that. But the card overall was a little bit meh. Nevertheless, people showed up. So I when we were talking with Anthony, I identified my fight of the night on paper as Gaethje versus Holloway. What say you?
Oh, mine is. I mean, yes, Justin Gaethje is a good choice. Kudos to you for that. But I'm kind of going with. I kind of want to see Charles and Armin take it. It's a bit of a toss up there personally for if I want to watch that or if I actually kind of want to watch Jiří Procházka come back after that loss to Alex Pereira, just because there's that narrative behind it. But also, Charlie lost his title through not being defeated. So he's kind of chasing that dream that was his, which is no longer. So I kind of want to see the Bronx do it. And Armin is a tough opponent, and it'll make for a really great fight that's probably either going to end in submission or decision. But either way, it's going to be three rounds of awesome.
Yeah, and just on that point, you've raised a good point there, that this idea of guys can be undefeated yet still lose their belt for multiple reasons. Are we ever going to do away with these interim belts? Because as someone who doesn't... I know you and Kobe... Shout out to Kobe, by the way. You and Kobe watch UFC pay-per-views a lot more regularly. Like, almost... I don't want to say religiously, but you are...
Religiously.
On time, like, in the same way that you turn up to where you are on point with those. You don't miss. But these interim belts to someone like me, who's kind of in and out, it is confusing.
It's dumb.
There we go.
I'm so... Okay, so I'm going to say it right here. If you're going to have an interim belt, and I get it, there's things that happen because you don't want to hold up the division. I understand. I'm not a maniac, okay? Make the belt a different color. Kobe and I agreed on this. I'm going to echo it one more time. If the actual title is gold or with a black, I don't know, what do you call that? Strap? Mm-hmm. Baron strap, whatever you call those. Then I want to see silver. Like literally what they have for the BMF belt. It's silver with black. Give the interim that. Give it silver with black, right? Or even do what WWE does, and then I'll have gold with red or gold with blue. Like, change the color. I'm tired of seeing gold and black and being like, oh, he's the interim. What does that mean? No, the actual champ. But if you have a different color, you can be like, oh, he's the interim. It just goes without saying. Like, there's still respect in interim. There's nothing wrong with being interim, right? Maybe you don't win against the actual champion, but for a while there, while they were out, you were running the show. You were the stand-in person. You were the second in command. That's no small feat. Maybe for some fans, they'd be like, you never got the big one. I get that, and that kind of rubs people the wrong way. So when they say former champion, but they were interim, that's a whole different can of worms I don't really want to bring up. But to your point, to end it all, in conclusion, interim suck unless you change the color.
Thank you. I concur with that, and I'd love to see it. It's just a layer of confusion that some people like myself don't need.
Yeah.
But one thing I do need is Calvin Kattar and Aljamain Sterling. That's another big fight on the card I'm looking at. What are your thoughts on that, Justin?
Okay. So, sorry, you said Aljamain and Calvin, right?
Yeah.
Oh, what the heck? My Siri just turned on.
Siri wants in on that fight. That's how good it is. Siri's like, y'all have that. Siri wants in. Siri's going to run a parlay.
It'll actually scare me for a second. I don't know if you guys heard that. Okay, so Aljamain Sterling just recently lost his title. We got that. Calvin Kattar is looking to get back into title contention. We all know that. Calvin Kattar came off of that huge win against Josh Emmett recently, and poor Arnold Allen, he's just been everyone's beating toy at this point. So Aljo, yes, I'm excited for this fight. I do think it's also his story. A lot of narratives in this UFC, to be honest with you. Like, we have Jiří Procházka, we have Aljamain Sterling, both former champions, both trying to get back into title contention, both of them facing a tough opponent. I think, though, Aljo should walk over Calvin Kattar like it's nothing. Aljo has proven he's strong. We saw it against Peter Yan. We saw him take it to Sugar Sean. We saw time and time again that Aljo can... He dominates where he had to. Against Henry Cejudo, he dominated against TJ Dillashaw. When there's a moment, Aljo will take it, as he should. That's a champion's mentality. It doesn't matter if the guy was injured. You win where you can win. And Aljo has that killer instinct. Calvin is good. I'm not going to lie. He's been in a few more fights than Aljo. Three more fights. And that could take a toll on him. They're both veterans. They're both good. But I think Aljo's going to come away. But yes, I can't leave this fight. I'm going to have to wear those Depends underwear and just never leave, because these fights are going to be too good.
Yeah, and it's definitely something you got to watch, even just for the spectacle. I feel like this is being such a milestone event, there'll be a lot of, I wouldn't say pageantry, but there'll be a lot around it. The UFC is going to make sure that this is a production to remember, and I expect a lot, even in between the fights, that'll keep us engaged, as opposed to the usual filler that we get on Saturdays. Now, Justin, we're getting to the end of the second round. You want to get some shots in, or some last-minute strikes before we head on out?
Sure. What strikes you want?
Give us your best. Give us the final say on the UFC 300 card.
All right, so my final say is this. This card is going to be the best card of the year. Everything past it is just going to be dog water. So get ready for a bunch of disappointments, unless there's going to be some huge upsets. Like 301, we have Pantoja versus Steve Ersig. Okay. Now, that's not to say that's not going to be a good fight, but I'm just saying 300 is going to be where it's at. As it should be, it's a milestone. Totally awesome. There are many underdogs to be had in this fight who shouldn't be underdogs. Like Jamahal Hill, as we were talking about against Pereira. Yes, Jamahal Hill's coming off that head kick, but you know what? He is just as lethal. I mean, this card is going to be so exciting. There's going to be memes. I promise you there'll be memes. There'll be new GIFs after this. There is going to be a whole new world of fandoms opening up, because UFC 300 has done it big. They're going to the capital of the fight world, which in this case is Nevada. They are marketing this the way they need to. Celebrities all around the world are going to be tuning in. I wouldn't be surprised if Messi is there. Ronaldo might show up. Taylor Swift, why not? Let's see if she can make it there for 26 seconds for the whole UFC event. It's going to be a night to remember. It might be the show of the year across everything. It might beat out Super Bowl. It might beat out Stanley Cup. It might beat out the NBA Finals. We'll see.
There we go. And on that note, we're going to ring the final bell. It's been a pleasure to have you on, Justin, as always. And
for you, pleasure working with you.
It's been a pleasure to have your company. We appreciate the support. This has been another episode of the Pro Sports Podcasters.
Bye.
And that's the game. We've reached full time on this episode of Pro Sports Podcasters. Your enthusiasm and support drive us forward, and for that, we're really grateful.
If you've enjoyed today's journey through the thrilling world of sports, please consider leaving us a review. Your feedback not only helps improve us, but also connects us to the community.
So don't forget to visit our website at prosportspodcasters.com
for exclusive content, episodes, and the latest updates in the realm of professional sports, where no sport is left behind.